Jesus said, "Provide purses for yourselves that will not wear out, a treasure in heaven that will not be exhausted, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." In the days when people employed servants, I guess some still do, but it was more common some time ago, there was a cartoon in the Punch magazine showing a wealthy woman praising her housemaid to the local vicar. "Oh, she's an absolute treasure," the woman said. "I do hope when I die, she will go to heaven too, so we can be together." Well, the vicar realized that the woman was still expecting to be waited on after she died, and so he replied, "I don't think that's quite what Jesus meant when he spoke of having your treasure in heaven." So what did Jesus mean by these words? Make purses for yourselves that don't wear out, an unfailing treasure in heaven, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Well, Jesus was, I guess, poking gentle fun at the wealthy people of his time. The rich people had so many belongings that they didn't know where to put them. If they put them in a locked storeroom, the iron things turned rusty and the expensive clothes got moth-eaten. But if they kept their belongings lying around the house, then burglars could break in and steal them. I wonder how many of you here this morning, as you prepared to come here this morning, left your home, and if there was no one else at home, did not lock your door or at least shut it. Anybody? One's worried down the front here. We close our doors. We lock our doors. We lock up our houses because when we're away from home, we're concerned about the safety of our stuff. And that's all our house really is. It's a place to keep stuff. If you didn't have so much stuff, you wouldn't need a house. You could just walk around all the time. A house is just a pile of stuff with a cover over it, someone once said. When you leave your house, of course, you've got to shut the door and lock them up. You wouldn't want somebody else to come by and take some of your stuff. That's what your house is, a place to keep your stuff when you go out and get more stuff. And sometimes people have to move. They've got to get a bigger house. Why? Because there's no more room left for their stuff. So today, as we think about this gospel passage from Luke 12, I think we're forced to think about two things. Firstly, we need to think about the stuff in our lives. And then we need to think about what Jesus tells us we should be thinking about, and that is treasure in heaven. Now, the word gospel, we all know, means good news. The gospel is good news. But the gospel doesn't always feel like good news for everyone. Because of our lifestyle, sometimes we don't always experience the gospel as good news. After all, the Bible says of itself that it is a two-edged sword. It's good news, and sometimes it's not so good news. The Bible's a two-edged sword, and sometimes it cuts, and cuts deeply. So if you're the kind of person who has lots of stuff, and if you think about your stuff a lot, and if you get all worked up about your stuff, and if you spend lots of time and energy trying to figure out how to get more stuff and what new stuff to get, then this word from Luke's Gospel today will probably, I guess, not feel like good news to you. In fact, many of us struggle not to put stuff above our desire for treasure in heaven. And Jesus knows that we all need a lesson in how to be in relationship, proper relationship, to all the other things that we have. You see, earlier in his gospel, earlier in this 12th chapter of Luke, Luke tells us the story of the rich fool. This person, Jesus said, had so much stuff that he decided to build bigger and bigger barns for all his stuff. And then he sat back and tried to relax, and he congratulated himself on how much stuff he had. And he said to himself, relax, eat, drink, and be merry. What he didn't know was that he was to die that night. He would die in love with his stuff. These things you've stored up, God said to him, then whose will they be? And Jesus said that that rich fool was rich in things, but not rich towards God. And Luke tells us that Jesus told the story to teach us to be on our guard against all kinds of greed. Our life does not consist of the abundance of our possessions. At least it shouldn't. We shouldn't be greedy about stuff. We're not to be greedy or anxious about the things, the possessions we have. And right after the story, right after Jesus told the story of this rich fool, Luke shares Jesus' teaching on anxiety about stuff. Jesus says, look at the birds. They don't worry about stuff. And God provides for them. Jesus said, look at the lilies. They don't worry about stuff. And God provides for them. Look at the grass in the field over there. It doesn't worry about stuff, and yet God provides for it. How much more, Jesus said, will God provide for you? It's God's good pleasure to provide in abundance. So don't be anxious about stuff. And then, later in his gospel, Luke tells us about a man he refers to as a rich ruler. A rich ruler who wants to inherit eternal life. And Jesus tells him to do what the law requires. Done that, the ruler says. I've done everything the law requires. So Jesus asked him, okay then, there's still one thing that's lacking. Sell all the stuff you own. Distribute the money to the poor, and then you will have treasure in heaven. Well, when the rich ruler heard that, he became sad. I told you, the gospel isn't always good news for everybody. It doesn't feel like that for everyone. Don't be greedy. Don't be anxious about stuff, Jesus is saying. Well, that's easy for us to say, and it's a lot harder for us to do. I know that personally. The verses we've heard that we've heard find their home in Luke in this larger body of Jesus' teaching. It's a teaching that has various different warnings and exhortations about stuff. And basically much of this 12th chapter of Luke's gospel, for that matter, much of what Luke tells us throughout the whole of his gospel concerns us being greedy and being anxious about stuff. And the point of these various warnings, these exhortations, is so that we may not be anxious or greedy about stuff, but so that we may be rich towards God, that we may have treasure in heaven. You see, after having told us not to be greedy and not to be anxious about our stuff, Jesus then tells us and teaches us what we should be doing. Stuff, he says, is not to be stored up and enjoyed. Stuff is to be given away. Stuff is to be shared and used for others. Sell your stuff. Give it away. That's what he says. Sell your possessions and give. Give alms. Our local boy made good, Andrew Carnegie, learned that lesson very late in his life, but not too late. And he sold his stuff and gave it away. And people all around the world benefited from that. Make purses for yourself that don't wear out. An unfailing treasure in heaven where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there will be your heart. For people who have lots and lots of stuff, I think this passage is a very hard word. It's a bitter pill. Is it even possible that this word could be good news for us? Sometimes the gospel is very, very hard to swallow. Yes, the gospel is about the love of God shown to us in the life, death, and resurrection. We celebrate that in baptism symbolically with water, going down into the water and being raised up, clean, new. But the gospel also cuts us deep. The word of God is a two-edged sword. Now, I wonder, as you're sitting there this morning, is that passage, is that gospel feeling good news for you this morning? You see, Luke gathers together this body of teaching in order to apply Jesus' teaching about stuff to subsequent generations, to you and to me today. You see, unlike the first disciples, there were people, even in Luke's community, some years later on from Jesus' ministry years, there were people in Luke's community who had possessions. They'd not left everything to follow Jesus as the first disciples had. They were still living at home. They still had stuff. Lots of stuff in some cases. And Luke wants those people to know that Jesus' followers who have possessions are being asked to share the same risks and show the same trust as those first disciples who left home to follow Jesus without any sources of food and clothing. People with possessions, like those first disciples of Jesus who left their possessions behind, also need to learn the lesson of the birds and the lilies and the grass. If we didn't have so much stuff, we wouldn't need such big houses. We might not even need a house. We could just walk around all the time, which is precisely what the first disciples of Jesus did. You see, Jesus, when we read the gospel, read scripture, Jesus is not hard to understand, but he is infuriatingly hard to follow. There's an urgency to his plea. After all, these words of his are spoken as he's on his way to Jerusalem, where he is to die, where he will demonstrate the costliness of his path. And following Jesus isn't cheap, because Jesus' journey isn't cheap. It costs us something to be Jesus' true disciples. Those of us who have lots of stuff, well, we invest entirely too much time and energy in overseeing our stuff. It really is a spiritual tragedy that we're often invested in forms of wealth that are constantly at risk, as we've seen with the stock market in the past few days. And we're not invested enough in wealth that is secure. Treasure in heaven. So what do we do? Well, the answer to that question really depends on one thing. To whom or to what do you really want your heart to belong? Where do you really want your heart to be? You might be sitting there this morning saying, I want my heart to belong to God, to be with God. Okay then, here's the challenge. Sell your possessions and give to those in need. That's a hard word. But that's what it means to be rich towards God, to have treasure in heaven. And your heart will be where your treasure is. And today, in our affluent society, in our affluent lifestyles, you and I need to hear that challenging word. You see, Jesus confounds human wisdom. I've heard lots of folks over the years in church saying, oh, if we just get people's hearts right, then the money would come in and everything would be okay. I don't think that's it at all. In fact, that's diametrically opposed to what Jesus actually teaches. Jesus says that you have to get people's wallets and purses right first, and then their hearts will follow. Where do you want your heart to be? To whom do you want your heart to belong? Put your money there. And if we wish to be followers of Jesus Christ, who is God's new economy in the flesh, then we live more simply with less stuff, and we put more and more of our stuff into the hands of those who don't have the stuff they need. It's not a hard concept to understand, but it's a hard concept for overstuffed people like you and me to practice. But it's the gospel. It's good news. It's a word that will save us, regardless of how we may feel about this particular word today. There may be no more important manifestation of our spirituality than our relationship to our material possessions. It's tripped up many a person before. It will again. It trips up many people now. The way we handle our stuff, our money, our wealth, may be the clearest expression of the depth of our relationship to God, our Heavenly Father. And for the follower of Jesus, we should really be taking every financial decision and looking upon it as a spiritual decision. There's a hymn, the words of which the 20th century American preacher Harry Emerson Fosdick wrote. And it says, God of grace and God of glory, on thy people pour thy power. Shame our wanton selfish gladness, rich in things and poor in soul. Grant us wisdom, grant us courage, lest we miss thy kingdom's goal. Our hearts will be where our treasure is. Those who are greedy and anxious about stuff make the decision to invest their hearts on earth. Those who are free or wanting to be free from a preoccupation with or an attachment to stuff, and who rest and trust in God's abundant provision, these are the people who invest their hearts in heaven. What we do with this passage of Scripture, this gospel this morning, what we do with this good news, just how much we sell and give, will clearly reveal which is the case for us. Whether our heart is on earth or our heart is in heaven. Whether we invest poorly or invest for eternity. Let us pray.